Blog Talk Radio.
Mustang moving on. Now, you guys might not know who that is, but I just want you to know that is Dynasty. That is Dynasty doing this thing. And that was, wow. I mean, how can, let me see if I can tell you. That was like the end of 1980, beginning of 81, before we did our second Adventures album. This was an album, the last album. This was on the last album. for RCA before Dynasty moved on to Elektra Salem. Distributed to the distribution company, still Solar, but through, you know, distributed by first RCA and then Elektra Salem, Warner Brothers. And so, but anyway, what's happening, everybody? How you doing? Are you ready? This is the weekend. We're kicking off the weekend here, the Solar Weekend. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Wardell Potts Jr. And I just, I got to tell you, I am silly. I'm sitting here, and right before my show starts, like a minute, when it said, the lady said, 1 minute before showtime, but not that deep. She said it very sweetly. And when she said it, I spilled my soda right on my shirt and in my swimming trunks. My swimming trunks, because I just got finished working out, just got back from the gym, and I ran into the studio, and I was like, well, I could do my show because we don't have cameras in here, right? So, but we're gonna have to start doing it a little bit. You've been hearing from different people that, you know, they think we should do both video and audio. So I think that's a good idea, except, you know, I don't like combing my hair all the time. And it's definitely not a good idea when you spill soda on you, right? In your lap, all in your shirt. It's what a mess. And I have there's a person here working cleaning, so I can't just take my shirt off. So, but it is all good and everything. I'm so blessed to be here. Hey, you guys, like, so y'all saw Greg when he went out and he was hanging out with Shalimar. And that was awesome. I was so happy. Greg, you should call in and tell us about it. Call in and tell us about your time there. I'm going to send you a link, Greg, to the show for you to call in, man, because that's awesome, man. And I'm glad you had the opportunity to get out there and enjoy yourself the way you did. You seem so happy. But the one thing I noticed, Greg, that was, you are short. Greg is so short. And I was like, look how little he is next to Jeffrey. But Jeffrey's really tall. So Jeffrey make you look short, you know. So anyway, I'm glad, Greg, you had a good time. I could tell in your postings and how excited you were about it. I even got a phone call from Greg's sister saying how much she appreciated, him getting the backstage passes and stuff. And, you know, he's so excited. And so, you know, I'm just happy for my brother that, you know, we can be a blessing to one another. He's always blessing us here on Solar Records Radio. And so, I have to return the favor, right? We got to do that. We got to take care of each other. And that's how it goes. So hopefully we can get Greg to call in. I haven't sent him a link yet, but Greg, I'm sending you a link shortly so you can, I'm trying to do it simultaneously, but you know, I don't multitask too well, but we'll see what happens here. I'm doing my best to be my best. And so that first song you heard, it's all about Solar, right? So first thing you heard was, like I said, a Dynasty song. And we're going to continue to play you some great stuff. Hopefully it'll be a blessing to you and you'll enjoy it going down memory lane with us together here. It's always a good thing to do, right? So did you guys have a good time for Throwback Thursday? Man, I did, because I love those songs. I love those old songs. Lord have mercy. Really makes a brother happy. I hope I enjoyed some of the pictures. I wish you guys would post more pictures. Stop being so stingy and share your pictures, guys. Good gracious. Anyway, so waiting for Greg now. I sent him off the link, guys, just so y'all know. I sent him off the link. And so we'll hear back from Greg. But in the meantime, I just want to, what? Oh, let's hear a little bit from Greg Alexander from Lakeside. We'll be right back.
Oh, man, what a beautiful song. Beautiful, beautiful song, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Sure is, man.
Hey, everybody.
Yes.
We got Fred Alexander from the original Lakeside on the line.
What's up, y'all? Happy New Year.
Happy New
Hope
Year.
Everybody's doing well. Can't wait to see you guys again. And everybody take the vaccine so we can come back around you again.
Take a vaccine.
Right. All right.
And wear your mask.
Please.
Oh, man, we... Hey, hey, Fred, when I'm listening to your music in the background as you're talking, I mean, I'm going to tell you, man, that music, there is something so special about the music that Lakeside does. The way that you guys perform, the energy that you guys bring to the stage, the love that you guys have in your music, there is something so special about your music, man. And I don't know where it came from, but ever since I was...
It came from the fans, just our need to make people happy and talk about life and different experiences that we all have, and we just try to make it relatable. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, hey, you know, but it's like it's got that classy funk, you know, and I know that a lot of you funkers came from. They got that Ohio thing going that they always talk about.
Yeah.
You put that Texas bottom underneath Ohio, and gave it that twist, right?
Yeah, well, we all used to sit up and watch Ohio players and look at the Ohio players, you know, and, you know, they was the big group that everybody... you know, looked at and wanted to be like, you know, us and Heatwave and Roger Troutman and, you know, we all, wasn't nothing else to do, ain't nothing else to do anything but play music.
So how you doing in the pandemic, man? How you doing? Are you ready to get back out there?
Yeah, I'm ready to get back out, man. Right now I'm just staying in and, you know, we're sitting around writing and, I'm thinking about, we've been thinking about dropping one of the songs from the Lakeside Lost Files.
Oh.
So, you might be hearing something real soon, and I'll make sure that you got it, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, we may try to do it next month, maybe around Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. We're thinking about that, so... But we get ready to drop something. You're going to be really, really surprised. It's really nice, too. And it's a ladies' record. The women are going to love it. Yeah, they're going to love it.
Hey, man.
So,
I love you, man, and I appreciate you taking out the time just to share this information because I didn't expect it, man. So... you are awesome, man. We appreciate you. Don Fleming, you got something done. You got something for friends.
Well, you know,
telling you, we're going to drop some on you. Going to really, really surprise, and I think the ladies are really going to like it. So I want everybody to know that, you know, we're going to drop something real soon, and we just can't wait to get back out there and touch you guys and feel your energy and, you know, just perform, you know.
Okay, absolutely.
Love it, love
Fred,
it, love
Fred,
it.
Fred, go ahead, Don. You said you wanted to ask Fred something, Don? Fred Alexander from the original Lakeside, y'all.
Yeah, it's the man. And how's that Texas weather treating you?
Hey, man, it's nice. It's like about 61 today. It's sunny. You know, it's been pretty good. You know, our kind of winters is not really much, you know what I'm saying? We had snow last week. It lasted about 3 or 4 hours, and it was gone. So, you know, long enough for you to see it in the grass, and if you didn't take a picture of it, then you missed it.
Man, that's crazy weather we have here in the South. It's usually like that. It's like a couple of hours of snow. And then probably the next week, Right, like right now, it's 60 degrees outside here in Little Rock. So,
yeah. See, that's what, well, y'all got what we had. So, it wasn't much, but it was a little bit just for us to feel a little winter. Other than that, man, it's been really nice.
All right, Lakeside, thanks Fred Alexander for blessing us and calling into the show. And now we have the famous my brother Greg on the line. What's up, Greg?
Hello, how are you?
You're famous now, Greg.
Now famous. Do you want my autograph?
I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of you. So, Greg, let me see something here. Greg, so tell us, how much did you enjoy yourself the other night?
Oh, I was absolutely buzzing. I was very nervous, and I'll thank you on air right now for arranging for me to do this, because I didn't expect it. I'd already bought my ticket weeks and weeks ago.
Right.
And then you arranged this about a week beforehand. So I got to the venue, really nervous, in a way sort of wishing it wouldn't happen, because I thought, what do I say? What do I say to these people?
Very good.
And also, anyway, the show was absolutely just fantastic. I mean, you know, the show proved that these guys, after 40 years, are absolute entertainer veterans. They know how to put on a show.
Yeah.
It was a great show. All the hits were there. People were dancing on the seats in the aisles. The place was full. Probably 2,000 to 3,000 people. Everybody knew all the words. It was just great.
Wow.
So anyway, while I was watching the show, I had a message through from Dana Myers.
Okay.
And Dana told me that I'd got to heckle them. So I messaged Dana back just to say, okay, Dana, I'll try to get you into as much trouble as possible.
Oh, man.
That's so anyway, awesome. The show was over, and I was ushered into this room to wait, and Craig, the UK agent, came to collect me. And we're walking down to the dressing room when all of a sudden who stormed out of the dressing room, it seemed in a bit of a hurry, was Carolyn.
Howard?
And I was immediately starstruck, and I didn't know what to say, but Carolyn was telling the agent off, because a friend of hers came on stage to sing with it, and I've forgotten who this person was. I didn't get the name, but it's somebody she's known for many, many years, and she got this person to sing a chorus of Night to Remember, and then they were hugging and hitting on stage and really celebrating their friendship. And she was saying to the agent, did you get a picture? And he was saying, no, I wasn't able to get a picture, I was busy. And she was really telling him off and saying, oh, you should have got a picture, I told you, you should have got. And I said, I got your video.
Ah.
But in my little squeaky voice, I'm saying, I got a video. And she said, oh, who are you? Oh, you're a babe. So I need to send her the video.
Awesome.
Anyway,
awesome.
I walked into the dressing room and immediately saw Howard and Jeffrey, and I was immediately so starstruck, I could have just ran away right there and then. But I couldn't run away, because Jeffrey came over to me and shook me hand, so I'll never wash my hand again.
Oh, Lord. This is crazy. So, you know, it's so cool that, you know, my three friends are in the room together, and you get to meet Jeffrey and Howard and hang out with them for the first time. And I'm really excited for you, and excited, you know, that, you know, I appreciate, you know, them being classy and showing you love like that. Thank you, Jeffrey, for, you know, making sure that, you know, Greg was able to really capitalize on the opportunity that was presented to him. We do appreciate that, and thanks for taking care of him. So you had, what do you do with two tickets? You got a ticket with
that was a strange thing. When the agent gave me the backstage pass, I didn't realize that came with a free ticket. So I'd already bought a ticket anyway. I mean, I didn't want anything for free.
Right. That is so cool. So did they leave the ticket for you, that stuff in will call?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'll treasure that forever now. So Jeffrey started to tell me that what a great show it was, and was saying that he absolutely loved the stage at the venue, because the stage was made of wood. And he was saying that it's the perfect stage to do his backslide. And he said that he has so many problems with stages, because sometimes he can't do his backslide. He said that if he could take that stage up from Manchester and take it with him everywhere he performs, he would.
Yeah.
So I said to Jeffrey, I said, okay, so what makes a good stage? And he said, well, what makes a bad stage is sometimes a lot of the stages are coated with rubber. And he was telling me this somewhere a few nights ago. He was trying to do his backslide, but just could not. There was too, the traction on the stage was so good, he just couldn't, he couldn't move properly. And he said he could see that the audience was, he knew that the audience could see he was struggling. So eventually he had to take his shoes off and try to do it in just his socks.
Wow.
So that was interesting.
That is. You know, but you have to do what you have to do, right? You got to get the job done. And I'm grateful, man. Your sister even called me.
Yes, I know, she said.
She said, my brother is so excited, you know.
I was.
And, she was just very happy for you. And I'm happy. I was happy for you, too. I wish I was able to see those guys as well. So, anyway, how was Jeffrey dancing? How was his Jeffrey's performances? I saw the video that you posted. I love that. What song was that they were playing that he was dancing to?
The main song was actually, it was just like a musical break with Night to Remember, because I think that in the UK, when he really came to the fore, was he did Night to Remember, I think it was 1983, when he had the change of hairstyle, you know, he got that wacky hairstyle. And I think that at the time he did that performance on his own, because I think Jodie was pregnant. Correct me if I'm wrong, but she may have been pregnant, I think.
Yes.
So Jeffrey had to come to the UK to perform on his own. And that's the first time he really, really did all the body popping and did the backslide. And apparently that performance was so popular that once he left the country, apparently the story goes that I think his manager phoned him up and said, you've got to come back, we've got to do this all over Europe. So that really was Jeffrey's moment. And his performance in Manchester 40 years later was no different.
Wow.
He's not slowed down at all.
Yeah, he seems like he's not aging.
Yes, I think so too. I thought the same thing.
I know, it's crazy. I'm like, Jeff,
he's so tall.
I know, he is. He's just he's a tall glass of water. Lord have mercy. Well, you know, Jeffrey is such a kind soul. Do the people there know that Jeffrey is the one that taught Michael Jackson the backslide?
Well,
the moonwalk.
At all the concerts they do on the tours now, Howard always tells the audience that he taught Michael Jackson how to do the backslide.
Oh, okay. Good.
And apparently, I believe, that when Jeffrey was teaching Michael the backslide, I think that Michael didn't take to that easily as we might think he would. And apparently Jeffrey didn't tell me this is just something I've known from years ago. I hear that Jeffrey was having to put Michael's feet in all the proper positions so that Michael could do this.
Wow. Well, you know, I mean, Jeffrey, that thing that he does, it's an amazing art. And I've seen him and his friends at Soul Train. It was a bunch of them, and it was like a gang, you know, a dancing crew. Maybe I should say that word. It sounds better. And
yeah.
they were working at this hard all the time. Almost every day they would be working on this stuff. So someone like Michael Jackson that sees this thing as something new to do, not knowing that he was going to be able to use that for the rest of his career, seeing it as something new and just a thing to have to go in and learn it from Jeffrey, was probably more than he expected, But because he's a perfectionist, he had to give it his all. And so I'm quite sure it was difficult for him to learn that. You know, it's, you know, but he felt like he had to learn it because it was so good. And then he just kind of took it to another place because he really, it seemed like he was the one that introduced it to the world. Before, you know, because he was a much bigger, much more known than Shalimar. And so, but the truth of the matter is that Jeffrey is the one that created that. And so, and we're grateful. We're grateful that he, I don't know if he created it, but he's the one that taught it to Michael Jackson. How about
I would say that Jeffrey created that. I think that was Jeffrey's move. And, we did, when he did the show the other night, and the show was about injustice, well, and you and I have talked about this a few times, it just doesn't seem fair sometimes that that was really Jeffrey's move, but because Michael Jackson had the bigger profile, everyone thought that Michael Jackson had created it when it actually wasn't true.
Right, absolutely. We have my brother Don Fleming. Don, you have any questions about Greg and his concert with Shalimar?
Man, you know what? I'm living vicariously through you. How did you enjoy it, man? That's a dumb question, but I gotta ask. How did you enjoy it?
Well, I've seen Shalimar since 1983. I think I've seen them 5 or 6 times, and I actually think that the show the other night in Manchester was probably the best and most polished that I've ever seen them. And I would have loved to have been at the London Palladium last night. Howard did a live session on his page, and they were rehearsing at the London Palladium. And Howard was saying that when you tour the world the way Shalimar do, and you're playing in so many venues, one venue tends to blend away with the rest. But he said that there's something about the London Palladium that sets it apart and so much higher than other venues, and I would love to have been there because I bet that crowd were rocking.
Wow. Well, man. I'm so
wow.
So how long was the concert?
Probably about maybe an hour and a half. And Odyssey came on first. They were also really good.
That's what I was going to ask you. Say their name again.
Odyssey.
Odyssey, yeah, they sounded good from the what you were posting. They did
all the hits like Use It Up, Wear It Out, and Inside Out, and things like
oh,
that.
Oh, love Inside Out.
Me
they didn't do Native New Yorker, right? Did
yes,
they do that?
Absolutely. Yes.
Love it, yes. Love it.
They were pitch perfect. They didn't have a live band. They sang to a backing track. That was okay. But again, you know, obviously, veterans know how to work an audience. That's how it's done.
That's awesome, man. Well, thank you so much, man. We're glad that you had the opportunity to get out there and hang out with the guys and, you know, go backstage and meet Howard and Jeff. I haven't seen any pictures with you and Howard.
No, I didn't like to ask. I didn't like to speak. No, I was too shy.
Oh, that's
I would have dropped the phone.
but they're used to that kind of stuff. So, but anyway, maybe you know when we get out there, it'll be another time, and we all could take a big group picture. We'll have a good time together.
Well, I hope so. You know, while we were playing, I just kept imagining that was you on drums. You know, I sat in the audience when the crowd were going wild and singing all the lyrics to the song, and I thought, how great would this be if this is a Galaxy of Stars tour?
Yeah, that would be awesome. And I'm desperately trying to find Dynasty's album, the last album we did for RCA. If anyone's listening and have any clue as to where to find this song, I mean this album, it would be a blessing because I'm working all the people in the group, I'm working people overseas trying to get this done, And it's crazy. I'm really trying to find this album because it's an album that we never released. And so we're thinking, because I heard one of the songs on YouTube, the song that I started the show out with. And so I'm like, wait a minute. So you mean that maybe they released it without letting us know, or they released it in the UK? Because I think, Greg, you said you found it in Germany, right?
I got the CD from Germany, but I did look for the album on the vinyl album, and I can't find it anywhere. But I have heard of someone that's got a copy of the album, the vinyl album. So obviously, why did they release that in Germany? I just don't know.
Well, you know, I don't want to speculate, but you know, people do what they do, companies do what they do as well. And so, but it would be really nice to find it, because there's some songs on there that I think that, you know, the listening audience would love to hear, you know, stuff that they've never heard before. You know, these are some of the songs I really enjoy. I remember when we recorded them and I enjoyed them then, but I haven't heard them. And so I want to hear them. One song in particular called Tame Me. Oh, that is so much fun. That's such a good song, and so I would love to hear that as well. So anyway, Greg, you had some questions for me, and so we'll get into that stuff later in regards to, we will be talking about what happened throughout my years at Solar, and if you have any questions, please feel free to either send us a message through Messenger. You can send it to me, Greg, or Don. Or if you want to, you know, depending on who you're friends with. If you want to call in, if you're in the States, you could call in at 646-668-8537, 646-668-8537. You can call that number from anywhere in the world, but, you know, it's cheaper if you're right here. I don't want people spending too much money. So, if you want to email us at solarrecordsradio@gmail.com, solarrecordsradio@gmail.com. We will read your question on air and try our best to answer it. But Greg, is there anything you'd like to say before we get back to the music?
Yes. Well, Dana messaged me to tell them that he's told me to heckle them, and he said if you tell them this, they'll fall about laughing. So I actually said to Howard, I said Dana messaged me to say that during the show, I've got to heckle you. And he did fall about laughing. So it's obviously some sort of private joke, but I didn't like to ask what the joke was.
Well, you know, Dana is a harasser. So, but we always have fun at Solar. We always tease each other, you know, loved on each other in that way. And it was just always a great relationship with all the family. And every once in a while, you know, people bump heads, but for the most part, Solar was and still is, for the ones that still connect, is a loving and beautiful family. So I'm glad Howard got a chuckle out of that. And you should ask Dana, so what's the inside joke?
I will ask him,
All right. All right, guys, so we're going to get going here, play some of this music down. We're going down memory lane here on Solar Records Radio, hanging out with Greg. Greg, say your last name for us.
Oh, Willisgroft.
Willisgroft.
Yes.
Have you ever heard me say your last name?
No.
Because I couldn't
you
say it. I couldn't say it, Willisgroft. Now I got it. Greg Willisgroft. Okay. Yeah, there you go. He is the man, though. We appreciate you, and thank you for your amazing artwork that you bless our station with. We love you and appreciate you very, very much. Much love to Tiffany. You. She's getting ready to go see Shalimar tomorrow night, I think. So,
okay.
Tiffany, have a wonderful time, Tiff. And anyway, so let's get going with the music. Much love to all of our brothers and sisters around the world. Julianne, much love, sweetheart. God bless you. All right. Talk to you in a minute, Greg. Peace out. All right, buddy. All right, man, oh man, I wanted to play that particular song because all the songs that we've been listening to from the beginning of the show, outside of Mustang Moving On, everything else I played was just slamming and jamming up-tempo songs. And so I just, that was one thing that Solar was really good at, and that was, just really good grooves. And so, up-tempo grooves, we were like marching, like a marching band or something, So, but anyway, all right. So Don, Greg, how you doing, Greg? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, you were extremely loud. You just blew out the mic right there.
I can hear.
Okay, cool. All right, Greg. So anyway, I know you had some questions and stuff that you want to ask us. So, feel free to.
Okay, not just Loving the Fast Lane, but from that album, I want to know about when the writers are credited on the albums. So, like for instance, with Loving the Fast Lane, it was written by Kevin Spencer, Nigel Beard, and William Shelby. Here I Am was written by, got a couple of questions, Belinda Lipscomb, Mervyn Gentry, Nigel Beard, William Shelby. I'd like to know, like, when the order in which the writers are listed, does that have any significance or not?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. For some people, unfortunately, they want their name first. And it's just an ego trip. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference, It's a blessing just to be on the song. And so, some people are like, oh yeah, I need my name to be first. But we didn't run across that too much where we were. Not as Solar.
Well, on that album, William Shelby was contributed for 6 songs for the writing. But on all the credits, his name comes last. So I just wondered, did that have any significance at all?
I think it may just be a coincidence, but I don't think it was a intentional decision. Obviously, I'm hypothesizing. But Dina Andrews, is an A&R director, and
yes.
So, she would probably be the one that, making sure the credits and stuff were, right for the album. But I just, there was, Will wrote 6 songs. That boy was writing his butt off, wasn't he? Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I think that's just a coincidence. Yeah. So I can see why that would make you go, wait a minute, why is this not named last all the time?
Okay.
Can
I ask another question?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've got more questions than anyone.
Yeah.
So a couple of questions about Here I Am. So the first question would be that Belinda Lipscomb was one of the co-writers of that song. So how... If she was, I don't know, was she with Midnight Star at the time? Because why did she write that song for Dynasty?
Yes, so Midnight Star is the ones that actually presented that song to Dynasty. When we were looking for songs, they presented it to Leon, and Leon was like, we got to have it. And so
it was supposed to be on the Standing Together album. I was saying it was supposed to be on the Standing Together album on Midnight Star. But Wardell, go ahead. I don't mean to cut you off. This is your story. I'm jumping in.
No. This is our story. Go ahead. Finish your thoughts.
No. It was given to Dynasty. I guess Wardell will kind of just tell you particulars of that. But it wasn't actually released on the Standing Together album. They ended up re-releasing re-releasing it on their 2010 remastered version of Stand It Together. They released it in 2010, and they put that on as an extra. So it was never released as a Midnight Star song.
But they did release it.
I've not heard that by Midnight Star.
They did release it. Midnight Star released it as well as Dynasty released it. So,
okay.
Not at the
same. Yeah. But it's a Midnight Star. They, you know, that's it initiated from them.
But it wasn't released on their album. It was never released on Standing Together in 81. So they only released it as kind of a scratch vocal thing on their remastered 2010 album from that was basically from Standing Together. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Well, so we were on the same wavelength on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're on the same page. Greg?
Yeah, that's a great answer. So I didn't know that Midnight Star had actually recorded that song. So is that available on the 2010 CD that Don just said?
Yeah, Don plays it, actually. We have it in the system, and he plays it. So I'm not sure if you heard.
I do back-to-back versions of it. Yeah, so it's actually in the system. So
okay,
usually
I
play them back-to-back.
I'll have Don do it today, Greg, so you can hear the different versions of it.
Yes, I'd like to. I've not heard that. I've got the Standing Together album, but the one I've got is the original. I didn't know that there was one in 2010. So I must get that.
Yeah, well, it sounds to me exactly the same. So it's very hard to tell the difference. The way that I tell the difference is the lead vocals, the timbre, and the voices of the lead vocalists. That's the only way I can tell the difference. Musically, it's exactly the same.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to just add that again. I just wanted to repeat for the listeners out that it didn't, you know, I guess wasn't, you know, they're just tuning in. The Standing Together album came out in 81. If I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, Wardell, Second Adventure came out in 81 also, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So it was basically, of course, the song was written by Belinda Liscombe. For all the listeners out there, this is for the listeners. The song was basically kind of like a scratch type thing, you know, laying scratch vocals or whatever, just something they were playing with. Long story short, they ended up giving it to Dynasty. Dynasty released it as a single from their Second Adventure album. Didn't go on the Standing Together album in 81. It wasn't on that album. They remastered their version, a CD in 2010, and they added that as a bonus song. So for all the listeners out there, just to kind of get you guys on the same page with us.
All right. Okay. Greg, you said you had a question for Don?
Yeah, I just wondered, since Don's been going to concerts, which solar act does he think performs the best live concert? And which act performs best live that's maybe not solar, but just in general?
Midnight Star has a heck of a show. Has a heck of a show.
Yeah, they are.
A live show.
Yeah, they are crazy good.
I mean, they go to their book of songs and whatnot, their library of songs. And they kill it every time.
Every time.
The crowd, you know, the crowd participation, you know, Howard Hewitt. I saw Howard Hewitt solo. I saw Lakeside. Lakeside is a great show. Amazing show. I mean, they still perform in their pirate getup. So it's just. It's beautiful. I mean, I think when you talk about the total package, when you talk about what you see aesthetically. You see the, you know, you hear the performance. You know they're going to kill it hearing it. But when you see them, you know, swashbuckling and out there doing their little swashbuckling duels and things like that, it adds to the fun and the ambiance of what is Lakeside. When you go for that total package, Lakeside is one of the best. And again, Midnight Star for just pure organic sound that resonates back to 83 or 84 or even 86 with the Headlines album. Just amazing.
There you go. Well, you know, I thought he was going to say Dynasty, but never mind.
I've never seen Dynasty before.
Yeah, I just
he's talking about live performances.
I know Dynasty. You had to catch us in 81, 82.
Yeah, after I would have been. Let's put it this way. Let's put it this way. I would have been the only seven year old out there rocking it. With a cigar in my mouth and everything. You know, kids back then were smoking cigarettes. I'm joking.
7 years old.
No.
Wow. We were definitely locked in the studio doing everybody's records. And that's the unfortunate. So it's like you can't have, you know, and I hate this saying because to me it makes no sense. Why have cake if you can't eat it? And they go, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Well, hello. What's the purpose of having a cake if you can't eat it? And so it's like we were in the studio all the time, but we wanted to do live, and we couldn't be in the studio and, you know, recording everybody's records and be on the road at the same time. It just didn't make any financial sense, and it just was or creative sense, because we were running all over the place and getting different sounds and different studios and. You know, it was just too much of a headache. So we all felt that it was a blessing to be in the studio producing and writing people. You know, we felt like we were growing up and having more of a responsibility, not just performing and having a good time, but from a business point of view, you know, doing the business part of the music. And so that was our decision. We felt fine about that. But when you look back, and you go, man, you know, we really missed out. You know, it would have been nice if we could have, you know, just been recording Dynasty stuff and focusing on Dynasty and had a long-lasting career like some of these, like, you know, when you hear Shalimar, most of the stuff they're playing, the songs we wrote and played on, you know, and so, and produced. So, and the Whispers, you know, they're the most of the songs you hear. It's the stuff we did except for the slow songs. They did all the slow songs, but, you know, but all the up-tempo stuff today, the party music, that's us. And so we didn't, unfortunately, it was a decision that was made and we have to live with it. So be it. And so it's a blessing to be able to say you had your cake, but you couldn't eat it. Isn't that a terrible saying? I hate that saying. It makes no sense to me. But anyway.
We love cake.
Love cake that you can't eat. That just makes no sense. What is that? Anyway, guys, so I want to get back to the music here. Hanging out with Greg is hanging out with us today. You know, see what happens once you go to, you know, these concerts and you hang out with these celebrities, then all of a sudden, you know, you're showing up for all this stuff now. He's ready.
Hollywood.
He's a business. He's a star now. He's ready. Hey, Greg, we have questions for you when we come back, so get ready.
Oh.
All right, guys. This is Wardell Fodge, Don Fleming, and Greg Willis. Come on, Greg. Willis Squad, right?
That's me.
That's it. All right. And, guys, Greg loved this song, so I'm going to play it for him, and we'll be right back. Right after this. Well, Greg, we are back here. Hello, everyone. This is Wardell and Greg hanging out here and on Solar Records Radio on this beautiful Friday evening, afternoon, just depending on where you are on the globe. We pray that you are good and safe and all is well for you and your family. Thanks for taking a moment out to tune in to Solar Records Radio as we are on this Friday and every Friday sharing the history of Solar Records and the music and stuff that came out of the company in regards to the artists and just on behalf of Solar Records itself. So thank you for tuning in. We got about another 43 minutes left in the show. And Maestro, you are up, Greg. What's on your heart?
Okay, I've got questions about the album Imagination, the Whispers album.
Okay,
so there were 8 tracks on that album, and I think there was about 3 drummers that are credited, including you. Can you remember exactly which tracks you played on that album?
So do you have the list of the songs?
Yeah, there's Imagination, It's yes. a Love Thing, Say You, yes. Continental Shuffle.
Okay,
I can make it.
Yes, I did. So three out of the 5 you just mentioned, I played.
Okay. Girl, I Need You,
no.
Up on Soul Train, and Fantasy.
I don't think Fantasy, but so It's a Love Thing. Do you remember the other? What were the beginning ones again?
Imagination.
Yes.
It's a Love Thing. Say You.
Yes.
Continental
no.
Shuffle.
No.
I Can Make It Better.
I Can Make
Girl
It Better.
I
yes.
You.
That's it.
Yeah.
So
I thought you did. Yeah.
Yes.
And Up on Soul Train.
Yes. No, I didn't. I didn't play on that one. I don't. The title doesn't ring a bell.
Okay.
So, but out of the ones that you mentioned, so I played on 3 songs on that album.
And also, someone else that's got accreditation on that album is another big name, Greg Fillinganes. So can you remember his involvement, and did you meet Greg?
Yes, I met Greg over at RCA, at the RCA studios. Greg Fillinganes, a great keyboardist. For those who don't know, he played with Michael Jackson and quite a few people. I'm not sure exactly which songs he played on because everyone used him, you know. I would think if he played on anything with us, it would have been... Imagination.
Okay.
Yes.
Great talent.
Oh yeah, he's a bad boy. He's definitely all that, and I appreciate musicians that really work hard to be a blessing to the industry and to the listeners. And he was one of those.
So another question?
Yes, let's go.
Okay, so on most of the albums, there's credits listed of drums, but also the percussion is usually quite separate. So can you explain why the drummers don't do all the percussion? Why did they need to bring someone else in just to do percussion?
Sure. Well, basically, drummers and percussionists are 2 different instruments. They're 2, even though they both are a percussion instrument, but the piano also is a percussion instrument.
Okay.
So percussionists, people that play kungus and bongos, and all of those other intricate things that they play over there, they have their corner. I mean, it's really an art to do that. It's not something you just do just because they're there. So as a young man, I grew up playing on pots and pans, but still didn't make me a cougar player. It didn't make me a cougar player, you know, because I prefer to play with sticks and not my hands. And so you have to really develop a skill to just use your hands, you know, because your hands, there's certain ways that you position your hand to get the drums to sound a certain way. With the congas and the bongos, you have to position your hands a certain way. And then, you know, all the calluses and stuff. If you ever shake someone's hand that plays those drums, man, oh, their hands are hard because they develop, it's like a skin on top of their skin, you know, that they develop, you know, from constantly banging on those drums. And so it's a callus, what they we call it, right? And so, so that's why, you know. Now, I play both. Sometimes I will play congas. Like, I play congas with Shalimar and percussions and stuff. And then I gave that job to a friend of mine by the name of Terrence Floyd, because that's what he really played. And for me to hold that position, I felt it was disrespectful because he was a real percussionist. And he and Tony Westcott were the reasons also that I even was a part of the sound of Los Angeles Records, because they were the ones that sent my information to Leon Silvers. And, you know, because Tony did not want to go and be in Dynasty. He didn't want to be in any group. He wanted to stay home with his family. He was the drummer for the Silvers. And so when Leon was about to start Dynasty, Tony was not ready to do that. He just wanted to be home with his family. So he sent me, him and Terrence Floyd. And so as a, you know, as a one friend does something for another, you know, you just reciprocate. And so I could have had kept both gigs and made double the money and had a great time at it, but it was selfish. It would have been selfish on my part. And so I wanted to, it was also a way for me to say thank you. Thank you, Terrence, for blessing me. And the same thing with Tony. I got him the gig to play drums with Shalimar when my friend Don Newton wasn't playing with them anymore. Don Newton became a police officer. And so, people have different things that they're passionate about. And so Don was passionate about doing that. And he was just a good drummer. But when this other stuff came up, that was something that he had to do. And it's all good. We got to follow our dreams. So Terrence took on the gig, and you can see him in the UK in the video, Night to Remember. He's the one with the big smile, looking like every time I see him play, it makes me think of Stevie Wonder. How he just turns his head and keeps banging. And so, Terrence Floyd and Tony Westcott, they both were in that video, Night to Remember, that was recorded in the UK. It was a live gig over there. So there you go.
Great.
All right. What else you got? What else you got, Big Daddy? Come on. I'm not used to Greg doing this. This is funny.
I'm having a question.
Uh-oh, here he goes.
I always have questions.
Yes,
he does. So if writers today want to write songs together, say there might be 2, 3, or 4 writers, I understand that with technology that can be done from really anywhere in the world. But again, like when you were, say, writing for the Second Adventure album, for instance, like on the track that you wrote, Give It Up for Love, with Nidra and William Shelby, so were you all in the same room at the time, or did you just write bits and somehow pass that on to the other one and then they came back, or was it very different then?
Well, pretty much every single thing that we did, that we wrote, we would do the music first and then then Leon would give it to someone to do the melody, and then someone do the lyric. Well, yeah, we're never like, we're not like in a room all trying to write this song and get it done for, you know, we just, it's people want to be in their own element, their own space when they're writing a song, and especially with that pressure, because there was a lot of intense pressure to get these songs done, because we were working on a lot of records simultaneously. So it was like a chain gang, you know, like the guys, you put the wheels on the car, okay, to keep on going down, and okay, you guys make sure that the door is closed, right, okay, keep on pushing down, make sure the electricity is working, keep on pushing it down, you know, and then you just keep on going, everybody keeps working on that until it's done, and then here we start all over. This is what I do. I'm a track guy, so I'm writing the tracks, and there's another guy coming that writes melodies, another guy comes and that does the lyrics, you know, whether it's a guy or a girl. And so that's how we did it. And it was a constant grind at Solar. And not just at Solar, but for Solar, at Studio Masters and at Larrabee Studios in Santa Monica and or West LA, wherever you want to call it, and at Devonshire up in the valley. So we were on the grind, man. It was no doubt. And then we had another studio up in Beverly Hills where Leon and I lived, and we was up there like recording constantly. I mean, the studio didn't get a break. We were working it hard.
But as songwriters, do you think that it's more creative to be in the same room, or does that not make any difference?
So that is a matter of preference, you know, and so for some people, you know, that want that, then great. And for others who don't care one way or another, then great. So it's just a matter of preference. It's a matter of what works for you. And I think that, you know, people are always trying to accommodate each other, because we are always sensitive to each other's feelings, especially being songwriters.
But you know, when you've told the story before about when they wrote "Make That Move" in a bedroom, and you told that.
Yes.
So was everybody sort of like really bouncing off everyone else, and the song developed spontaneously rather than being orchestrated and choreographed?
So "Make That Move," we were at the Silver's house in Bel Air, California. We were upstairs on the second floor in someone's bedroom, Kevin Spencer, Ricky Smith, and Ricky Silver's, I believe it was. And we were just there I was just there because I was always there, right? I was always there, and even though I wasn't a writer on a song. So if you notice that all the writers on that song, their last name ends with an S, Smith,
right.
Silvers, and Spencer. So in the bedroom, they start messing around with the guitar and the keyboard. Ricky messed around with the guitar, Kevin messed around with the keyboard, or Ricky's messed around with the keyboard, and before you know it, the groove starts to come together. They're just trying to find a groove, something that feels good, and then once we find something that feels good with the guitar and the keyboard, then you keep on repeating that over and over until it starts to lock in, and then say, okay, let's get a change. How do we lift it from here to the next place? And so then, you know, they will come up with a change. And whoever came up with the change, you know, we felt it was good and continued to hold on to that. And then that change will go back to the original groove And then, you know, and once that felt good and worked fit, then it would be locked in.
Okay. Good answer.
Okay.
So also, can I ask about Larrabee Studios too?
Sure.
So, like, again, the some albums were credited as recorded at Studio Masters, but mixed at Larrabee Studios. So what's the difference between Studio Masters and Larrabee Studios?
Well, Studio Masters was the workhorse, right? It was a studio where we were just doing a grind, you know, figuring out, recording the songs, punching in, just doing everything to make it, to make the song come together, right? Then get all the vocals done and everything. And the console was a workhorse. And I'm trying to think of the name of the console. As soon as I think of it, I'll scream it out. It was just a workhorse. And the tape machine, 24-track tape machine, was a workhorse. And we just going and going. And sometimes we had Atari machines in there. Sometimes we had other machines, you know, that 24-track machines in there. And we would work our hearts out. But then, once the song is done, after they put all the strings and the horns, the drums, the guitars, the bass, the vocals, and everything is done, then it would take those tapes over to Larrabee. So the console at Larrabee, this console was made to mix. That's what its gig was. Right, to give you, now we're going to take all this stuff and we're going to fine tune it. But not only was the console was that way, so was the engineer, which was Steve Hodge. And Steve Hodge is the same engineer that Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis use for Janet's stuff, because they got Steve from us, you know. Once our thing started going down, then that's when Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis started taking off. And so, so we went on SSL console, an amazing console. Everything was just top-of-the-line equipment and stuff in there. And the engineer, Steve Hodge, was sitting there, and he would tweak each instrument, even like my drums, one thing at a time, the hi-hat. He would work on that thing till he got the sound that he was looking for, and then he would work on my snare. Ta, ta, ta. So it's ta, 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 ta. And he would fix that, and he would tune that, and then he would do the same thing with the bass drum, and then the cymbals, the overhead, and everything, and then he would go to the bass guitar, and then he would tune that the way that, not tune it, but edit it, and you know, just tweak it and make sure that it sound the way that he knew that Leon would want it to sound. And then he would do the same thing with the keyboards and just go through every bit of it with this amazing console that made everything sound much bigger and brighter. And so, and then at the end of the day, we would come down to the studio to listen to what Steve had done, and he would play it for us and be like, whoa. You know, because it's really good to get away from it, right, for a while, and then get another perspective, have somebody else mix it and start doing, because we were doing our own little rough mixes, but Steve, he was the master, and so when he got a hold to it, it was like, whoa, man, it sounds so good, thank you, and then Leon, or whoever was producing, whether it was me or if it was Leon or Dana or, you know, Ricky Smith or whoever was producing at that time, would, you know, make a tweak here and there. And then after they make the tweak, that was it. And then Steve would record it, master, and then we would take it and get it mastered. Now, see, mastering and mixing is two different things. After you mixed it, then you got it all sounding good. This has gone up to a whole nother level, and it's amazing. Now they take that and take that record that mix down. We recorded it down to a half inch tape, right? And so that was two tracks on half inch, and then they take that and we take it. This is before all the digital stuff came into existence, and then we would take that over to Bernie Grumman's, which is in Hollywood, and he was the mastering lab. He was the man. He did all of the stuff, and we go there. He did all the hit records. We were just so blessed. And so we go there, and then he put it into his little machine, and he starts tweaking the whole mix, everything simultaneously. He would bring the bottom out and make the whole the thing have punch. Then he would tweak the top end to make sure that the vocals weren't, you know, getting lost in the bottom. And then, you know, and then, you know, just he would just make it so that it is ready. That's what mastering is, just to make sure it's ready. And then once he got it all tweaked up, then he gives us, then they make records. Like they would make these the test press, and it'll be like you know, we used to get cassettes too. Boy, that sounds so funny. And we got cassettes, and then we got DATs, and we were stepping up. We were working our way to digital. Mm-hmm. Then we got DATs, right? And then and then before you knew it, was CDs that they, but the DATs were like really like something everybody was excited about, because it was small and powerful, would hold your sound very well. And so, and then they would do a test press and create the vinyl for the record. And so there you go. That was a long answer, but
can I ask another question?
Go ahead.
As soon as you mentioned Steve Hodge, so obviously Steve Hodge wouldn't be the only engineer at Solar. So when people sometimes say to you, Wardell, that they can tell that you're on a certain song because of your drumming style, so you yourself, because you're the drummer on so many of these songs, when you listen to a song that's been recorded many years ago, can you tell by listening to the song who was the engineer and who mixed it and who might have mastered it? Can you tell by listening to it?
Well, this is the funny thing about that question. So what happens is that because Leon had set a specific style that this is what he likes. And not only did he like it, but the whole world liked it.
Yeah.
So we were consistent. Everybody was like, this is the sound, this is the standard. He had set the standard. And so all the engineers that came in would work towards making sure it was that way. But there was, you know, there was some amazing engineers that came in there. Jim Shiplett is one of the other engineers that you haven't, you know, Bob Brown was another. Bob Brown was another amazing engineer that came in. And Les Cooper was another amazing engineer that worked with us. And so there were quite a few. And I know I'm missing a couple, because we went through a lot of people. A lot of people in a seven year run, we had a lot of different engineers that came in, and some people could not hang. They couldn't hang because we would not leave this. We start the studio at around 10 o'clock in the morning, and we wouldn't get done until about, you know, 6 o'clock the next morning. So it was just on all day long. And, you know, the different people that was working at the studio, they have a crew come in the morning to open the studio, and then a crew come in the evening to stay there until we were done. And they were done probably around noon, I mean about midnight. You know, you find them balled up in a blanket somewhere, asleep in another room while we're in there recording, you know. But that's just the way it went. So, but thank you for asking, so I was able to mention those names of those engineers who were absolutely amazing and obviously needed to be credited. So thank you for that question.
Okay, so I have two more questions.
Okay, yeah, we have 18 minutes left, so.
Okay, I'll make it quick. So Nicholas Cole on the Imagination album, he's credited for the album concept. So what does that mean?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say rest in peace, Nicholas. Nicholas was the bearded man in The Whispers. He was the choreographer in The Whispers, and he was the leader that everyone knew he was the leader, but never said it. Everybody looked up to him. The twins looked up to him. LaBelle, everybody looked up to him as the leader of the group, but he... And this was all said at his funeral, but no one ever said you're the leader. Everybody just knew he was the leader of the Whispers. And
wow.
So the concepts. So concepts is basically how do we want to appear, this album to appear? What do we want it to look like? What's going to be our concept? Lakeside was good at themes. Right. And so those would be like concepts as well. What your theme is. Where are you going with this? What do you want it to be? How do you want people to see it? And so that's what Nicholas would be. He was that person that said, I think this is the way that we need this to look. And this is how the way we need it to be for the album. And then they would work everything around whatever his concept was.
Great. Okay, so one more question for John.
Yes,
Don? I'm here.
Don.
I am here. What's going on?
Don, have you ever written a song?
Have I ever written a song?
Yeah.
I have in my younger days. I used to play the saxophone. And there were a couple. I have archives somewhere at the old house. I didn't release it out for the masses to know, but yeah, I've written a couple of songs.
Okay, well, that could be your project.
Because at the time, you know, I was into, you know, the Najees and, of course, the Art Porters and Branford Marsalis and things like that. I sat in my... regional band chair, and I just started writing music, and you know, had a little concept, or you know, I thought it was pretty good. I felt it was pretty good, and but again, it was just never released to the masses.
Oh,
It's all good. All good.
Well, that's exactly what we're doing, project for a future show. We need to feature John's music on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, bring it on out, Don. Bring it on.
Well, you
out.
Know, we got about, let's see, what we got about another, what are we looking 15 at? 15 minutes.
Minutes
left of the show. And we played, did you guys already play Here I Am, the both versions of it yet?
No.
Oh, well, for the listeners out there, for the listeners that didn't know what we were talking about, of course, Dynasty released the song actually first. Now, Wardell, correct me if I'm wrong, because Here I Am overpowering the man who's been there, was at ground zero. But no,
yeah, no, you're right.
I want to play both versions.
Go
I want to play both versions of Here I Am, if it's okay.
Okay,
oh,
so listen.
Oh, yep, you're going to let? You're gonna,
no, because these songs are very long. So I just want to say thank you to Greg for coming on. And I'm glad you had a wonderful time out
Thank
there
you.
And glad you got to meet Shalimar and Jeffrey really was really excited. Thanks for sharing the
enjoyed the pictures too, Greg.
And
thank
videos.
You, John.
The videos were awesome and stuff, and so really appreciate it. And thanks for coming on and asking all the questions that you did, and we always welcome that. And I want to also thank Don for hanging out today. Tomorrow Solar Wants to Dance, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We thank you guys so much for blessing us.
2 p.m., Wardell.
What's that?
2 p.m.
Oh, yeah, 2 p.m. See, there you go. That's the only day we're at 2 p.m. So every other day, all the other times, we are 3 p.m. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you guys and appreciate you guys. Don's going to close us out with two of the same songs. The one version of Dynasty and one. Which one are you going to play first, Dynasty or Midnight Stars?
Actually, the first one I'm going to play is Midnight Stars version. And okay. If it's okay, I'm going to go ahead and start it now. You guys, again, have a great weekend. This is Here I Am, of course, from the Standing Together album, the remastered version. Of course, check it out. You guys have a great weekend. We are out.
All right. Bye. Bye, Greg. Bye, Don.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.